Yes. Kum Lernen, Ablat Gemara, Rok Daf Beis, Amar Aleph. We are up to...
Yud Beis Amar Aleph?
Nun Beis Amar Aleph. We're up to Rav Ash here. Davuk. The first line is Davuk. So by you, you might not find it. It's 52A. 52A.
I see you recovering from your jet lag, huh?
Yeah. Dibuk. What happens if there was glue, if the wings of the bird was glued to a board or something, and he flies with a board, and then he falls to the ground. Do we say that his vertebrae, his bones moved, and it's treif or not? Ravashi says it's all right. He's not treif. So Gemara explains. B'chad gapa, one wing, if it's only attached in one wing, and it flies, can fly with the other one, kuli amala b'gidashar is permitted, so when it fell down, it flew down. So therefore, it didn't get hurt. Ki pligi b'tre gapi, both wings are attached. Manda, also the one that says, amaloch, heichinekum. How in the world can he stand himself up? He can't lift himself, both wings are attached to this board. So therefore, when he fell down, he fell straight down, and he therefore, he's treif. Yeah, exactly. So therefore, he's treif because he fell. And his bones moved about. His vertebrae. Uman the shari, the one permitted amlach, efshe the nekuma ikve the gapi. He can still use the back of his wings that is not attached. Not the entire wings are stuck to the board, are glued onto the board. And therefore he's able to sort of lift it a little bit. And he came flying down. Vikadami, others say the other way around. But today gapi, two wings, kuli amlach, because he does definitely tell us how can he move. Unless when we say us, it means, remember we said before, there's two tests. Either you wait 24 hours to see if it lives, or if it walks around or flies around afterwards. Ki pligi b'chad gapa, one wing. Manda shari, one that says permitted amalach, efshe the part of b'chad gapa, could be fully one wing. Manda us, the one that says us, kivin the b'hai lamati part of b'hai nami lamati part of. Says he couldn't fly with one wing. Says he couldn't fly with one wing. He cannot fly with the other single wing as well at all. The Hilchoson, what's the final ruling? B'tre gapi yaser, both wings are attached or glued on, it's aser, but b'chad gapi shari, one wing is permitted. Says Gemara, nishtabru reif shalasev, most of its ribs broke. Most of the ribs broke. Now, we're going to tell you that in an animal, there are 22 ribs, 11 on each side. There are actually more, but two of them don't count. There's 13 on each side, but we don't count two. They're too small. So we count 11 ribs on each side. And if the majority of the ribs broke, it is possible. Now, what's the majority of the ribs? Majority of a side or the majority of the total? In other words, do we say it's 11 each side? If six broke, a side is treif, or do we need 12 out of the 22 to break? Says the Gemara, Torah, but we learned, what do you mean when we say majority of the ribs? Sheish mekan, six on each side, or achas esen mekan, vach mekan, or 11 on one side and one other side, so 12 out of 22. Omaziri says Siri, but which side? You know, the way the ribs work is you have the spine right in the top of the animal. You have the spine going the entire length of the animal, and then you have all these ribs that come out of it, 11 ribs on each side. So which, when we say that the ribs broke, which part of the ribs broke? If the bottom part of the ribs broke facing the ground, that doesn't bother us. It's only the top half facing the spine is the problem. Umechetchen klapishadja, the part that's closer to the spine. If 12 of them are broken, it is possible. That's what Rashi says. We're not counting all the ribs. We're counting the ribs that have marrow. In other words, 11 ribs, not the 13, not the other two. Amar Ula ben Zaka. Amar Ula says ben Zaka disagrees. He holds nekru. If it broke, you don't need majority of the total 22. You need majority of one side. But Rav Tzad Echad. Sorry, he's like this. He says. So ben Zaka says it depends if the ribs were removed from the shedder, they were they were pulled out of the sockets, or if they broke. If they were pulled out of the socket, then the majority of one side, even six, were pulled out of the sockets, then it's treif because the animal can't live. But if it broke, I agree. Nishtabru b'reifshus, I agree that what you need 12 out of the 22. However, Rabbi Yechonam, I hold even pulled out of the dislocated out of the socket, or whether it broke, you need a majority of 12. Rav says, what about nekrotzela? If a rib got pulled out, v'chulya ima, and let's say that there's the entire, you have the spine. The spine has a bunch of like rings, and the ribs go into the, that's called chulyas. the vertebrae. If the vertebrae came out together with the spine, then it's treif, even one. Nekra, tsela, if one rib was pulled out, v'chulya ima, and the vertebrae with it, treifa becomes treif, even though the spine is still intact, and so on. Rav Kana said to Rav, nekra tsela mekan, v'tsela mekan. Rav Kahana said, and Rav Asi said to Rav, if they're asking the question, what about, this is a question we want to ask you. Now, we're not sure whether they heard Rav's din or not. Rav said that if one rib and the vertebrae was pulled out, it's treif. Questionable, we'll soon see the Gemara, whether they heard that question, that law or not. So that's the question. What happens if nekra tzela mekan betzela mekan, or b'vuchul kemez? What about two vertebrae opposite each other were pulled out? Sorry, two ribs opposite each other were pulled out, but the spine is still intact and the vertebrae is still intact, but they're opposite each other. What happens then? So, mau amale gistra kamrita. You're asking me a question where an animal was cut right down the middle? It's an avela. Not only is it a treif, it's an avela. A treif means that you cannot eat it, but it's not tummy. This is an avela. This is like a dead animal. Rav, and you might ask a question right back, but Rav himself, nami gistra kamar. Rav, when he said that you pulled out a rib and the vertebrae with it, that's like you cut the animal in half. The animal's now two parts, because you split the animal. You pulled out the rib and the vertebrae. That connects the whole animal. Each vertebrae connects the animal. So he's also gistra, and yet he says treif, not nevela. Because what happens when you pull out one rib and the vertebrae, the other rib on the other side automatically falls out. There's nothing to hold it. So it's the same thing. So what's going on here? Says the Gemara, you're missing the Rav. Kikomar Rav. Rav was saying tzelo, when his law was that he said that the animal's treif, not nevela. Treif, he was talking about a rib fell out. But the vertebrae didn't fall out. Says, what are we talking about? But v'tzela v'chulya come. He said, clearly the rib and his vertebrae. He meant tzela v'chatzikula. He meant the chulya. He meant the rib and part of the vertebrae. Miklal, from here, which seems clearly, the Rav Kahana and the Rav Asi, tzela b'loy chulya amra, so it's clear that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi is talking about a rib without the vertebrae. So they were asking a question, since they heard what Rav said, And they're still asking a question. Must be, because if they heard what Rav said, what are you asking a question? If the two ribs fell out, even one rib fell out, and part of the vertebrae is possible. Must be they're talking about the ribs, two ribs fell out, but no part of the vertebrae. But amaluhu, and then he answered back, Rav, gistra kami divide the animal in half. But he didn't. If the vertebrae is still intact, the animal is not divided. Ben Zake said, nekru, if it got pulled out of the joints, beroiv. You need the majority, not just one side echad. Nishtablu broke b'roish has done. Amale, he said to him, no, you're mixing up. Hasam zeh shalekha neged zeh. When do you need a majority? Because they're not opposite each other. In other words, a rib here, a rib there, they're not opposite each other, so therefore the animal wasn't really affected. A person could be missing a rib, he'd still be all right. Hacha zeh neged zeh. Here we're talking about where the ribs were opposite. Their question was, only two ribs, but opposite each other. But the vertebrae is intact. So Gemara v'am rabbi echad b'roiv shneid zdodin. Rabbi Yechna says you need the majority of two sides. You need 12. If you need 12 out of 22, definitely you have at least one that's opposite the other. So according to you, why do you need 12? Just say one and opposite the other. That's enough. Well, but I just thought the kind of ben Isaac and Agazeh. So Yimara says Hasim over there buchne b'le asisa. That's the pestle without the mortar. And Hacha b'kucha says Rabbi Yechna is talking about where the everything was still intact, the middle was intact, just the ribs fell out. Here we're talking about where the joint, where the ball fell out as well. You know, the rib fell out where the ball that goes into the sockets. That's what Rav was saying. Rav was saying exactly that. If a part of the vertebrae fell out, even one is possible. Why are you asking about two? They didn't hear Rav first. So why talk about two ribs? Talk about even one rib and a little bit of the vertebrae fell out. Sadly, they hold. I'll ask one question to save time. We'll ask one question that automatically encapsulates both questions. If we ask him if one rib fell out, what's it then? And he tells us that it's treif, and obviously two fell out is treif. If he tells us if one rib falls out is kosher, we still don't know what happened to two ribs fell out, the little bit. So we'll have to ask another question. Waste of words. We'd rather ask about two ribs. If he tells us treif by one rib, then kosher can't tati. Then we know for sure by two. But he amalang treif is a kosher. Am I? I can't tati. We still know about two. says Gemara, so what did you gain by asking about two? If he tells you that two is kosher, then you know for sure one is kosher. But if he tells you two is treif, you still have a question. What about one? If one rib fell out, so what did you gain? You still have to ask another question. If he even asks two, if he tells you that two ribs fell out is kosher, then kosher chadah, then I know one is kosher also. If he tells you it's treif, we still have one over one. Savri, he holds. If so, it's not so much. If we're going to ask him about two, it depends on the tone of voice that he answers the question. If he answers us nicely and calmly, or he screams at us, and that's going to be tell us the difference. Because if he's going to say two, we ask him two, is it treif? Two ribs fall out a little bit. He says treif, then we'll know why he's so angry. Because even one is treif. If he says oh two, yeah, I think it's treif, then we'll know. But one is kosher. It's the tone of voice. Im came mitzvahs korotich, he'll get angry. Chod a treif etat de boy, he'll get angry at us. What are you asking about two? Even one is treif. Says the Gemara, v'ka'amri le'verotach, he himself said that you asked a question about two and he didn't scream at you. All he said was, you split the animal in half and you scream at you. So what was your whole theory? Kivin the kamma, but there the words. He said, gisra kamritu, he says, you're asking me an animal's cut into two, as if he's being annoyed with us. To get angry, you don't have to raise your voice. If you can say in a pejorative way, that's just as good as you're getting angry. But he's saying, oh, you're talking about two animals split in half. What's he saying? He's making fun of us. It's the same thing as if we got angry. Okay, so you don't have to necessarily raise your voice to show disdain for somebody. Says Rabba, the son of Rab Shaila. This is the name of Rab Master, the name of Shmuel. What happens if a rib fell out of its place? Three dinim, he said, Shmuel said. If a rib was removed from its place, not that it broke, but it was totally removed, fell out of the socket. Number two, gogailas, a skull, shenechbasa beruba, that was crushed most of it, but it's still all there, it's still sitting there. And a basar hachayfes reiv hakedes beruba. You have the stomach, the part of the stomach, and this the meat that covers the entire base of kaisis is ripped. But it's not the base of kaisis itself. Treif, all of these three cases are treif. Now the Gemara will analyze each one. Nekrotzelami kara treifa. You're saying that if you pulled a thing out, this is like Rabbi Ben Zaka, if you pulled out one of the ribs completely, it's treif. Ramin has a question. It says in the Braisa Kamach, Saran Bishadra, how much should be missing if you find a dead body or the skeleton of a dead body inside a tent? If we have the din of oil, but if most of the skeleton is missing, it depends. How much should be missing from the spine and we say that it's no longer a human skeleton, it's no longer considered a skeleton frame? And it's Namatame Bishame Mishte Chulyas, if two Chulyas, two vertebrae are missing, it's no longer considered a proper skeleton. And Basil says, Chulya Achas. He says, if one vertebrae is missing, it's no longer a skeleton. So Basil actually is being Mako there. He's saying, right? If one vertebrae is missing, it's no longer Matami the coin if he walks into that house. And yet, the same thing applies to Trefer, where they're the flip side, just opposite. Basil is Machmed. If one vertebrae is missing, the animal's Trefer. According to Vishama, you need two vertebrae missing. So Basil is actually the one's Machmed. So we see from Clear One that if one vertebrae is missing, it's treif. But if one rib is missing, it's not treif. And you're saying that even if the rib is pulled out, v'horcha tzela b'lei chulya, so Gemara says, hosam chulya b'lei tzela. He says, so l'chayda, what do we see from there? It's Shmuel said over there that by treifa, the vertebrae is missing. In other words, it seems from there, we understood right now that the rib and the vertebrae together was pulled missing. That's when it's treif, not just the rib itself. So we answer no. He's talking about two different cases. One case is what he's just told us in the Gemara before was tzela b'lechulya. The rib itself was pulled out without the vertebrae. And that's treif. Hossam, in the case of Basil, chulya, the vertebrae is pulled out, b'lo tzela. But not the rib. The rib is still there. Says Gemara, what do you mean? How's it attached? Bishleim et tzela b'lechulya, rib without the vertebrae being pulled out. Mishkach, that's possible. You pull the rib out and the vertebrae and the spine is still intact. Elo chulya b'lo tzela, if you pull the vertebrae out, what holds the rib in place? How can it be? So he answered, Bishili Kofli. There are vertebrae at the very end of the spine which have no ribs attached to it. And if one of those are missing, it's treif. Maskul Rav Yishai has a question. A side question, so Luchayda, when it comes to treif, Beisil is being more machmer. Why isn't this mentioned by the leniencies of Beishamai? Beishamai says that an animal is not treif if only one vertebra is missing. Beisil is machmer that if one vertebra is missing, it's treif. It's unusual, so why doesn't it mention it? The Mishnah in Idias lists a whole bunch of things that were unusual cases of Shammai, where he is the one who is lenient. Why doesn't it include this one?
The main argument over here, Shammai and Hill, is talking about the case of Tumah.
And then we learn from that a derivative is treif. That's what's not included. Now, the Shammai Luchumra says, the next thing he said was Shmuel, a skull that most of it was crushed. When he say most of the skull was crushed, are we talking about the skull from the eyes and to the top of the head? We're talking about the circumference, the width. Not sure. Ubasa, the third thing he said was the meat that covers Reva Kedis Beruba, if it's sliced, the majority of the meat that's covering the stomach, if that's been sliced through, it is treif. Boy Ravashi, Berev Kurua, does he mean the Reva? He just said the word Reva, majority, but what about the majority? Majority sliced? Oy Berev Nitlo, he's talking about the majority has been taken away. Tifshalei, why don't we resolve it? Minitnan, we learned in our Mishnah in the beginning of this Perek. Keres haprimi is the inner stomach, shenikva, the inner stomach, a puncture. Or shenikra, the outer stomach, it has to be ripped the majority. The amri b'marava, and the same Israel, b'mashmei Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, kol ha-keres kule, what part is considered the inner keres, what's the outer? The entire stomach is called inner keres. He keraprimi. The eidu keres, what does the Mishnah mean when it says the outer keres? It doesn't mean the outer stomach, it means the meat surrounding it. And it says that the majority is ripped. When Rabbi Yechanan says the majority, when Shmuel says the majority is ripped, he's talking about the meat. Basar achayfas reva keres. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Midi hu taima el Shmuel. Who is the one that said that? It's Shmuel. He's the one. We're talking about, according to, remember, who's the one who's saying this in Shmuel? Shmuel holds out of one rib, you know, that's pulled out, is Ray Treif. And Shmuel doesn't learn the mission like in Israel. He learned that the inner stomach, the outer stomach, doesn't mean the entire stomach and the meat surrounding it. He holds the Shmuel, Rabbi Yaakov and Achmeni, and Shmuel, because Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Achmeni, said actually the name of Shmuel, Mokum She'en Bemilis, you know, which is considered in the stomach with there's no hair. That there's no hair growing there at all. So the inner stomach is with his hair, the outer stomach there's no hair, and then his head and the hair play a part in digesting the food. And then Shmuel comes to the nudin, the meat surrounding it, that is treif. Then the Mishnah said, Drusus Hazev, the Mishnah said that if a wolf attacks, claws animals, the wolf is a predator, and it claws an animal, there's a poison that comes out of the claws of the wolf. And it says in the Mishnah, by a wolf is a small animal, or if a lion is a predator, and you know claws its way in, or even a large animal. And then we say there's a bird called a nates, not sure what kind of bird it is, like a hawk maybe, or a vulture, that claws. It doesn't say an eagle. It doesn't say an eagle. I don't think it's an eagle. Maybe it is. In a small bird, and then there's the thing called a nace, even a large bird. Different kinds of birds. I'm not sure. Now we'll analyze this. Drusus Azev, you're telling me the wolf, the behema, when it comes to an animal, is min Azev, the size of a wolf or any animal larger, any predator that's larger than a wolf, has these claws and the venom inside the claws. And actually, today they don't have it, so they're all wondering. You know, the Mepharshim, today's Mepharshim, are wondering what the Gemara is talking about, because today there's no venom inside the claws. Some want to say it means bacteria, you know, not venom. But anyhow, something that kills the animal. So, but hey, when it comes to an animal, the size of a wolf, and anything larger is a predator. But if it's smaller than a wolf, it doesn't have enough venom to be able to kill other animals. But when it comes to birds' victims, from this bird nates and larger, they have the ability to be predators and kill. Lemutimai, what are you trying to exclude? What kind of animal is smaller than a wolf that's a predator? Ilema lemute chosel, the cats in Shalayim that are there, you know, the feral cats, whatever, you know, all over the place, and they're dangerous. Tanina, we learned Udrusas Hazeb. The Mishnah clearly says, and a wolf. So why would you think a cat?
V'chitem okamashlan is coming to tell you to say begasa nami dodis. And if you can tell me, if not for Dav, I would have thought that a cat also could be a predator, but only for small animals. And the Mishnah says a wolf can be a predator. Why is the Mishnah talking about highlight a wolf and not a cat? To be a chiddush, because a wolf, we're talking about larger animals. A wolf is able to destroy a large animal. It can't be. Well, tonight, if you know, Rabbi Yehuda says drusas hazei bedaka. Rabbi Yehuda says that a wolf can only do small animals. With drusas ari begasa, and the lion can do large animals. What's there with anything? Maybe Tanakhama argues. And v'chi teima Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda arguing. Amar Rabbi Yomim by Yefes. Amar Rabbi Loi Loi. But Rabbi Yehuda lefadish. Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to explain the chacham, not arguing. And therefore, our mission agrees that a wolf can only do small animals. So if it says a wolf, obviously it's not a cat. It says, Yimora, Gavra, Gavra, Karamis. You're asking a question of Lozan and Rav. Maybe Rav holds, Rabbi Yehuda argues, maybe Rav holds that Tanakama holds that a wolf can attack any animal. And Rabbi Yehuda says only a wolf can attack small animals. And therefore, that a wolf can attack even large animals, not coming to exclude cats. And that's why you need Rav to come along and say, but a cat does not have the ability to be a predator and kill with its venom. Venomous claws. No, they're feral. They're just annoying.
But you know why they're there? Because the council allows it.
Because what?
The council allows it.
Why?
I don't know.
To get rid of the mice.
If the council would not allow it, then there'd be an RSPCA.
They brought the cats there to get rid of the mice, didn't they? And now the cats became a problem. So they'll bring dogs.
But now there are not as many cats as there used to be.
You took a census.
No, I looked. I was there many times in Russia. A lot more once upon a time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Another answer is maybe you're right. Maybe the mission also coming to include a cat. That a cat does not have the ability to be a predator. So what? And what's Rav coming along? So why is Rav telling us a cat can do what the mission tells you? I would have thought, and he's coming to explain the mission, because I would have thought, the reason why the mission mentions the wolf is only because the wolf is the most common predator. Kamashalanda, the mission is telling you a wolf because a cat does not have the ability to be a predator. A cat that is that uses claws, the nemaya, it's another kind of an animal. Rashi says it's a marten, also in the cat family. A marten, which is Rashi says there, which is in the cat family. It is dangerous. Oh, so that's what I'm saying here. That big vitloyim, that not only a bird, small goats and small sheep, they can also attack. Because they're very vulnerable. These are considered the smallest of small, large sheep are considered bigger, small animals. This is the smallest of the small. Baby sheep and... No, sheep don't attack.
No.
That's why they call them sheepish. Exactly, I'm saying that even a cat is able to attack a small little lamb. Not a sheep, but a lamb. Yeah. Little lamb. And a little goat. Drusas chosav in my begdim vitloyim. Drusas chulda, and a weasel is ba'efis. A weasel can be a predator for birds. Meisel, ask you a question. We learned in a braise, drusas chosav, that a cat that is a predator and nates, and this bird called nates, with the maya, and this other cat called the maya. When are they considered dangerous that their poison enters the victim and kills them? That the nails have to be long enough that it pierces right through the animal until internal side part of the animal, till the intestines. So it's, in other words, it's more. It's not. We don't treat it like poison. It's more like a needle, and a needle, in order to be possible, it's a tray, it has to go all the way into the intestines. So there's no venom there. It's the nails themselves that kill the animal. It pierced through the intestines. Abadu celestial. They don't have the ability to pass on venom. That's what it seems from the Brice. So what do you tell me a story? So what are you talking about? How can you learn the Brice that way? The Brice includes nates, and yet our Mishnah clearly said that nates is a predator and has venom in its claws. So you I would ask a question. Nates loidotis, you tell me in the three examples he gives there was a cat, a nemir, the marten, and a nate. And you tell me nates doesn't have the, and they're not talking about venom. It's just the claws. And you tell me that a nate has no venom, but none in our Mishnah says, but drus is a nate. So he was a holokasha. That's not a problem. Can but if his army is talking about where the nates attacked other birds has enough venom to kill a bird. But can big demons, the bride is talking about goats and lambs. Goats and lambs are bigger animals, bigger than bird.
What type of animal is nets?
Nets is a bird. It's like a vulture or something, or a hawk. Yeah. The Kombaka Rav Chizda Kash, you got a problem. Rav Chizda says that a cat has venom. It says clearly the bride doesn't. It's only merely like a needle. Huda Amar, you're right, he will not conform with this Braisa, but he agrees with another Braisa. Huda Amar Kihai Tana. He follows another Braisa. The Tanya we learned, Beribi Aimer, this rabbi called Beribi said, Loi Amru Ein Drusa. He says it depends. You know when we say that these like a cat, and these things are not predators? The Mokum She'ein Matzilin. Nobody's trying to save the victim, and therefore the predator doesn't get angry, doesn't therefore exude this venom. Avom. That there's somebody out there trying to save the goat or the lamb, then the predator gets so angry, and this anger, the hissing, brings out the venom from wherever it is stored in this body, and it comes to the fore. Yes, drusa, amazing stuff here. So what are you telling me? That the only time that the venom comes out is if there's somebody trying to save the victim, so if it's the anger that brings the venom. Well, he tanuga, there's once a story about a rooster, the Havi Beit Kahana that was in the house of Kahana. The Roid Chosl Baso, a cat was chasing it. But Oli Idroina, so he went hiding in a room. Visyachid Dosha Bape, and the door closed shut behind him. Umachil Dosha, and the cat hit against the door, Bisichufa, with its claws. Vishtakachal Allah, and we found, sorry, and this is the, the cat got locked into a room. And the cat was trying to get out, so it's clawing its way, it's banging the door. Vishtaka, we found on the door, Chamisha Kurtidam, we found five drops of blood from each one of his fingers, and they were all poisonous. Here, there was nobody trying to save the victim, nobody was trying to save the rooster. And yet, the cat exuded poison.
Because the cat was desperate to get out.
Oh, says Imor, the cat was trying to save itself, was trying to save itself. It makes it angry. Just like as if it was trying to get to its prey. But Rabbanon, they disagree. They hold Zira Islay, they hold, you're right, there is some kind of a poison there, but the like Kali Zira, but doesn't have the ability to impact, to burn someone else. Ikidamri. So therefore we answer that Rav Chizkiya is talking about a case where, when does Rav Chizkiya say that there is, that the cat is able to do all the stuff, is only talking about when there's somebody trying to protect the lamb. So the cat got angry, and that's when it has poison. And the Braisa that says it doesn't is talking about when nobody was there protected. You get another version of Chizda, even when nobody's trying to protect it, holds that there's venom in the cat. So how come our Mishnah says wolf? how come the Braisa says unless only it pierces into the internal organs? That is a different Tana. That's Beribi, and so on. This Braisa is according to Beribi that says that the animal has no poison, you have to get its long claws into the intestines, follows Beribi, who says, we don't say this poison, in a place where there's nobody protected, ain't drusa. Says the Gemara, you're telling me the same question before, there's once a case of a story of this the rooster, the Havi Beit Av Kahana, the Rod Chosabas was chased by all Idroina and went into a room. He's Yachid Dosha Bap, his door closed on the cat, Machil Dosha Besichufa, and was banging on the door there with his claws. Vishtakah Lachamisha Kajadama. And I wasn't angry. I told us, that's when I was a Chindami. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay,